things happen. Wednesday, this Wednesday night, we're going to have a little bit different than what we normally do. We'll have communion Wednesday night. Now, there'll be classes downstairs. The oldest three classes will be up here at 7:30. We're going to have communion tonight. And I want to be a special time. Christmas is more than what we think. More than what we think. And I want us to get all we can get out of this Christmas. I want us to get everything, every little bit out of it. Now, I like Santa Claus. I like have a holly jolly Christmas in there. That bird would kiss her once for me. I like this song. I don't like frosty. I don't like snow. I used to, but I don't like frosty. I still like Rudolph. I still like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I like the shows. I like to watch the show. I like to watch about when they get that little whatnot fella walks around and does all that talking and I don't know what that is. Cartoon. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know Santa Claus coming to town. And when they got the little elf and they find the mountain man and he got the pick and they find the big abominable snowman and all that. I enjoy sitting down and watching. I don't know if y'all do it, but I enjoy it. I like the Mr. Snow and Mr. Heat. I used to be able to sing all the songs.
This is funny.
Freeze.
Yeah. You know, get somebody in Ball Humbug and I'd sing all the songs right beside it. And get them in the Christmas spirit. But I want to get everything I can out of the Christmas. I do. Like Frosty, I just teeth about that. But I don't like snow, but I like Frosty. But that's part of Christmas for us. That's our culture. I enjoy presents and trees. I do enjoy that. I don't do with what I used to do, but I still enjoy it. I like to look around. Me and Landon was coming home the other evening and was talking about lights. And he said, I don't care much asking how the lights was at Memorial Park. He said, And I said, well, was it all right? And he said, it's all right. He said, I like it when the house was around.
Yeah.
See, it means something, though, when the house was doing it. And he said, we got our lights up. He said, we'll see you to see him tonight. He was all excited about it. I mean, that's all part of Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
But then, the real part of Christmas is Jesus.
Right.
The reason he came. And I do, you know, it's a shame, and not the Cheryl's shame, but we don't sing the Christmas carols enough to even know them. We probably know the first verse or half a verse in the course of every Christmas carol there is. And there's probably more gospel in the Christmas carols than any other hymns and songbooks.
Yes.
From the birth of Christ
yes.
to come again. All the way yes. through. And we just don't take advantage of it. We're so, our culture has killed us. It really has.
Yes.
But it's okay. That's just who we are, what we are. And we just need to just enjoy the Lord a little more. I want to give you that thought tonight. Supposedly the most famous Christmas carol. Supposedly what I've read, the most famous Christmas carol is Solomon. Most famous one, it was written a poem and was given to a man who put the music to it, had just one evening to prepare it. A man brought him to the getting ready to go have church that night and said, I bring you this poem, put the words to it. The organ's broke, fix it when we can play the guitar and sing it in the choir tonight. And they had their church service, and that's how it happened. And the words of Solomon. Most, one of the most famous songs. I want to preach tonight just for a minute on Silent Night. Silent Night. I want you to listen and think about it. All right. But we're going to have a play on things here. You're going to look and you're not going to see much silence till we get to the end. All right. So let's look tonight. Damn it, let's pray again. Father, I thank you for all you are, all you do. Thank you this service tonight. Thank you for Brother David. Lord, we're glad a little better has come to know you. And I'm glad for the two friends. I couldn't help but think of the four that brought the one. Thank you for my young men. Oh, God, I'd rather see them be soul winners than the greatest athlete this world has ever known. The President of the United States. I'd rather see him bringing people to you. God, use them. Bless them. Bless all these young men here tonight. And bless this church. Bless our people. Ones that's here and ones that can't be here. Lord, the ones that ought to be here, speak to them. Ones that couldn't be here, bless them double. And Lord, help us tonight preach as you want us to preach. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start right in the middle. Now, we had a great day today after the program, and the gospel was given, and the people's hearts were stirred, and that's all we can do. We rely on the Holy Ghost to do the rest, and we do our part. He always does his part. He don't need me. He chooses to use me. He don't need you. He chooses to use you, let you in on it. And ain't it a blessing? Ain't it a blessing? Think about it, how great he is. Let's look here in Luke chapter 2. Now, instead of me reading all of it and going back, I'm just going to start at verse 7 and we're going to look. I want you to keep in mind Silent Night. Can you do that just for a moment? Keep in mind Silent Night. I'm not being crazy. I've just been thinking. And as I think and read the scripture and think about things, let's look at it here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. Everybody ready?
Sir.
It says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, I don't see no silence here. I see a noisy inn, a crowded street, and people everywhere because they've been there to pay their taxes. And I can imagine they was cussing and swarping and everything else going on. Imagine that. They was there to pay taxes. All right. We understand that. So it wasn't a laughter place. And they left the inn, and I can't find no solace there. And then they laid him in a manger around all them animals, and y'all been around barns. That's really not, it might be a comfortable place to sleep in the hay, but it's not the quietest place you ever been around. I mean, it's just not. So I just don't see no solace there, do you? We had Silent Night is the most important or the most popular song about a silent night, is it not? And I wondered, the reason I thought that, I said, where did they get that? So I started looking to see where the song come from and why and all these things. And I got why the music was put to it, where it was used, what year it was used, when it became popular in America, who brought it in. Bing Crosby had the number three in the world. Top number one, down on the third of the top number one hits, Bing Crosby's version of Silent Night. Just in case you wonder. I mean, I just want you to know, I read about it. But I don't see no silence here in verse 7. And then I look at verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Well, I said, now we're getting into some silence. Now we're getting into it. Until verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. Now, I don't see much silence there. Things starting to pick up again. Everybody still okay? But it's just, look how important it is. They had an angelic messenger that come to them. An angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. And then I look at verse 10. Well, there ain't no silence in verse 10. And the angels talking. So there's no silence. Now, I don't, I just don't picture angelic being whispered.
No.
I mean, I don't. I mean, I don't know how y'all do. I look a big, booming, radiant voice, powerful voice, you know, as it states and says, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." There's no solace there. Don't see nothing big. I don't see no solace. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then verse 13, I don't see no psalms here. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God."
Yeah.
Ain't no silence there, but wouldn't you like to have been on that hillside listening to all that? Wouldn't you like to heard heaven cut loose and praise the Lord for being born? How wouldn't you like to heard that? Think about that. No off keys, all in unison. Wings may have been flapping. I don't know. But can I tell you, the noise and the adoration and the excitement there on that hillside, man, it wasn't no solid light. Says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude at the pile of them." I don't know how many did a multitude. It was more than a couple.
A host is also a pile
of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward me." I don't see no silent light. "And it came to pass as angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste." Well, I don't see no solid light there. They're talking among themselves. They're running. They're panting. They're making haste. They're running to where Mary's at, where the stars shine. Think about this. I can't find no solid light there. What has inspired this song that we sing? What has inspired this silent night? What has inspired us in the Christmas story? I've been looking for it. Look at verse 15. We'll read again. "It came to pass as angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." Well, I don't see no solid saying. Man, they all excited. They tell everybody. The kids sung it this morning. Come tell everybody. Go tell it on the mountain. Well, they did. Huh? They was talking about it. But I don't see no solid saying. Y'all see a silent night in there? Y'all think I'm going to be crazy here a minute. "When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherd." Now, I don't know when you wonder. Do you wonder quietly, or do you say, "Well, I wonder"? When you wonder, do you say, "I wonder"? Talk to me.
Yeah.
When I wonder, I say, "I do not wonder." Well, when you got a bunch of people saying that all one time, ain't no quiet. All a bunch of them say, "Well, I wonder." Say it all together with me. "I wonder." I don't find no solid. But you still okay? Don't think me crazy. Verse 18. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd." Now, when I look at verse 19, I think maybe here's a little solid. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, it didn't say she didn't talk about them. It said she kept all of them. She pondered them in her heart. It don't say she shut them. Then verse 20, look at it again. "And the shepherd just couldn't get over it." Mm-hmm. I wish we were all shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
I wish all of us were shepherds. We wouldn't get over it. You know, if we were all shepherds, we just wouldn't get over it. Is that where we go? We'd be praising and hollering about it and praising and glorifying God. I just would to God we was all shepherds. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told to them. But I ain't found no Solomon. I'm not trying to add to the scriptures. I'm not trying to ruin the song. I just couldn't help but figure out why Solomon. Why would it be Solomon? Well, let's look again. Can we just for a moment? I see here the angels talk. The angel of the Lord talking. Y'all see that? Verse 9. Well, let's go back to verse 7. I picture in my mind the noise around the inn. I picture in my mind the noise around the stable. Can y'all picture that in your mind? And then I see the angel talking. And then I see the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. I see them speaking. Is it okay? I see the shepherds speaking. Okay. But I don't see God speaking. I don't see the Father. See, when he was baptized, he said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he didn't hesitate, saying with a loud voice that all could hear, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But he didn't say nothing at first. He said it at the baptism. But he didn't say nothing at the birth. I read on through the Bible and I found where when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he was transfigured before them that they could see his glory as when he would come again the second time in his glory. And there I heard, I see and I read where God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So he spoke when Christ was transfigured and received all his glory and shown his glory. But he never said nothing at the birth. Never said nothing at the birth. So maybe the silent night, this is what I've concluded. This is Mark Neesecker's hypothesis. All right. I've concluded that the silence of the Father. I've concluded that the silent night, the only other place of a great adventure or a great event, he never spoke of the cross. He spoke of the baptism and he spoke of the transfiguration, but he never spoke of the birth and he never spoke of the cross. Because the birth and the cross go together. And God's mouth was shut. And there was silence in heaven. Because the Redeemer had come. Hear me tonight. The Redeemer had come for all mankind. And the Father had to be quiet. Because God stepped out of heaven. And put on a robe of flesh.
Yes.
That me and you might have eternal life. And have Christmas. But no more than Christmas. That we might have eternal life. And the silent night shows me about the Redeemer being born.
Right, yeah.
Are you hearing me tonight? Can we look at a few scriptures? And see if we can see maybe where it's at. How about Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4. As Mary and Joseph looked down into the manger, and Mary pondered the things that had been told her in her heart. And she had done been told, and Joseph had done been told, you know, you name him Jesus, he shall save the people from their sins. And then he told Mary, and all the things that he told, you can see him pondering these things. You can picture that in your mind. I always think of that when they have the kids around the manger. And I see all that happening, huh? And I see what's going through. As Christian sung this morning, Mary, did you know that? Did you know that your baby boy was going to be all this? Did you understand that? She didn't understand all that. She was pondering in her mind, huh? But God knew.
But God knew. See, God had done looked down in time and saw me and you. He had done looked backwards to the creation that had failed. He had done looked backwards to the creation that he never intended to die. That wasn't his plan for him to die. If you think about it, he made Adam and Eve to reign with him and have full fellowship. But sin come into picture. But even though he knew it, can I tell you, his initial plan was perfect relationship. You understand that? But he couldn't get it with sin. So man died. So now God has to be born that he can die to make everything happen. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Are we still okay? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Mary and Joseph looked in the manger and said, thank God for a baby boy. God looked from heaven and said, oh, my son that's going to be born to die.
Yes.
Maybe
it's where the solid might have been. But he couldn't say a word. Because he looked down and seen a little baby. A little innocent baby that was going to become sin for mankind. He who knew no sin, that he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. I'm just telling you what I thought. We okay? But then I look in John 18. I look in John 18. And I look again. John 18, if you will. Let's look at verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Says, Pilate therefore said to him, this is when Jesus is before Pilate. He said, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Look what the next verse goes, the next phrase says. To this end was I born. See, Mary and Joseph looked in the manger and said, oh boy, I got a baby boy. We got a baby boy, our first one. A baby boy is going to be used of God some way. I don't understand it. But God looked down and Jesus even says, to this end was I born. Stand right here to be judged. I become sin. I want you to know this year at Christmas time, when you look at the baby in the manger, or you be staying silent, you remember that I think maybe it's God that's silent. As man is rejoiced, and the angels rejoice because of the miracle. You know, angels have always been involved around salvation. Jesus could have called a legion of angels, and the angels have always been around Christ. You understand that? And they praised him, and they praised God for the gift, even though they'll never be a part of it. Huh? God decided. God didn't say anything. He didn't say, this is my beloved son who is born to you today. Never said a word. Never said a word because Jesus, to that end, was he born. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, here is my boy.
Yeah.
You still okay? Well, that was it the Father that was silent on that silent night? Well, it wasn't the people at the inn. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's animals in the stall. Animals are animals. They're going to make noise in the barn. You ever been in the barn? Go in the barn at nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
Have no lights. Slip in the barn. See if some things don't come out, come alive. The angels? Angelic angels? Have y'all ever heard of an angelic angel? I like to hear one. Huh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I wonder just how. Was it all in parts? Was it harmony? You ever think about that? You always taught the boys harmony. You reckon it was harmony? Sure, you reckon that all the notes you know were perfect? Wonder how low the bass was. Wonder how high the tenor. How do you know the harmony part, the outdoor part, you know, that's always the dud. You shall feel it again. Is that not right? Are you listening to me? Can you imagine the heavenly heaven? It wasn't silent. For there was a Father in heaven looking down at that baby, that manger, knowing that he was going to grow and live and die on a brother's cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe the Father made me. How about 1 Timothy? Can we go to 1 Timothy? We all like that. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We still okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just give you a little something to think about. I'm not telling you it's true. I'm just wondering if that's where the psalmist was. Because I couldn't find it in the Christian book. I just wondered if maybe the psalmist was in the Father. You couldn't find it in the Christian book. There's a lot of commotion around here. Christmas ain't quiet. It ain't quiet. Huh? It ain't quiet. Well, the Father, I believe, was quiet. He didn't speak. He spoke when he was baptized and ready to preach. He spoke then. He spoke when he showed his glory to Peter, James, and John. He spoke then. But he didn't speak. He was born. He never spoke when he died. This thought, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. The only reason he came into the world was to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the only reason he came. He didn't come to make a holiday. He didn't come to just make scripture. He came to fulfill the plan of God to redeem us from our sins, for we are wretches, and that's all we are on our best day. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can take his old vile flesh and do anything, but the God of heaven can, and he come down in a manger and groaned. He was a savior before he come. He was a savior in the manger. He was a savior as a teenager. He was a savior as he walked over Galilee. He was a savior when he went to the cross. He was a savior as he lay in the tomb. He was a savior when he rose again. He was a savior when he ascended on high. But when he comes again, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the greatest that ever was. But he comes as a little baby, still saved. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Think, he comes for us. He comes to redeem us. He came to redeem you of your filthiness, of your past. We all got a filthy past. Filthy thoughts, filthy deeds, filthy life. We've all got it somewhere. And he came to redeem you. Oh. The song you could, oh girls, y'all could have sung a better song than you sung tonight. Both of them was good. The last one just knocked it out of the park over in the creek. Thank you, God. He looked at him and hardened him. God is seeing everything. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at him. I will pardon you. You old filthy, dirty, rotten sinner. I'm going to look at him. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know how to contain that. I don't know about how to apprehend all that. Right. Can I tell you this? It's true.
Right.
It's true. Can we look at another thing? Yes. Y'all still look at it? How about Romans 5? Romans 5. Corporal Saint Solomon, huh? Just in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know.
Okay. I think it might be become my favorite song. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will live. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of him. That's what you understand. That's what he did. That's why, to this end, is why.
That's right.
And I give you the license in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want us to start there, verse 9. We'll start at verse 9. Now, follow me now. Don't think you're crazy. Look at me and follow me. I come up to the inn, and there's people on the street, and cussing and swarping and drinking, and the inns were noted to be a very dangerous place, really.
It's just that mean that you just can't die.
And I don't hear no silence. There's no silence there. And they take Jesus and take him from there to the manger, where the lambs, technically, if you go read back where he went to where the lambs were being sacrificed and then being grown and born to be sacrificed, and the things that went on there and the noise. And the manger was really, technically, it wasn't a little woodland on the sea, but it was a long, hewn out of rock and laid down, and the swaddling clothes. Huh? You just have to go study that on how it shows you why he came and prayed.
Yeah.
Think about it. And the animals and the noise and all the things that goes on. And then here come the shepherds running after they've done heard the angel, the noise on the hillside, and the heavenly host had done sung and hollered and praised the Lord, glorified the Lord. It's a noisy place. Now go to God. Now where the Father? Did the Father hang his head? I don't believe the Father hung his head. I wonder if he went. Yeah. I wonder if he looked way down. He said, I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. The compassion, Jesus is the picture of the Father. Is that not true?
Yes.
Is that not what the Scripture says? And when we hold the glory, is the only begotten of the Father? Mm-hmm. I mean, is he not the likeness of the Father? Talk to me now. Help me now. Am I not telling you right? Is that not who Christ is?
Yes.
He's God in the flesh, and we see the image of God. Is that not what it says? His image of God. The first word is what Boyd read in Colossians.
Yes.
We still okay?
Yeah.
Was he compassionate?
Yeah.
How much love did he show? How much love did the Son show? How much compassion? How much time did he do? You not think that the Father, if he's showing us and amplifying the Father, you not think the Father's in heaven looking down to think compassion? He said, I'm Lord. Take my holiness and set it aside for all blindness. And I'm going to set my glory aside just enough. I'm still going to be God. And I'm going to put on a robe and step of flesh and go down there and walk among these people as they cuss and lie and cheat and commit adulteries and idolatries and gamble and do all that. And I'm going to be right among them. And I'm going to love them. And one day I'm going to write in the dirt and say, he lived without sin, cast the first stone. And I'm going to write in the dirt. And when they hear what I wrote, and that's what the Bible says, when they hear what I wrote, they'll walk away.
Yeah, that's right.
You say you can't hear what you wrote. Well, Rick just taught us this morning that John turned and saw a voice.
Right.
If you see a voice, you can hear what he wrote.
That's right.
You okay?
Yeah,
I like my Bible.
Yeah.
I like my Bible. You still, y'all follow me tonight?
Yeah.
Y'all follow me tonight? I believe maybe that Solomon wasn't on the hillside. It wasn't with the angelic host.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the barn. Where they killed the animal. It wasn't there. It wasn't up at the inn. There had to be a Solomon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Had
it.
With the fathers. It had to be. The angels that would walk around the throne had their wings spread, the seraphim of the
cherubim
around the throne of God. God is quiet because he just condescended down to mercy. Do you understand it's not a little thing? Christmas ain't a little thing. Thank God condescended down to man. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
Become man. Because that was going to be the only way to reconcile us to him.
Yeah.
Huh? I think maybe they were solid.
Yeah.
Can we read Hebrews, Cheryl? You're going again if you want to. You read a little Saint Solomon. Remember, he didn't speak of the burden. He didn't speak of the cross. So let's look here in verse 9 and see. But we see Jesus. Okay, let me just stop there.
Yeah.
Can anybody just see Jesus?
Yeah, stop there. Yeah.
Talk to me tonight.
Yeah.
Can anybody just go ahead and see him tonight?
Right.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. For the what?
Suffering of death.
Talk to me. Why was he made a little lower?
For the suffering of death.
Crowned with glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Yes.
See, I was dead, Brother Rick. Because he died in my place. And I trusted him and I got over. I got over being dead in trespasses and sin. Are you hearing me? I got over being dead in trespasses and sin when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. The grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became death. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bring ye many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, hey, Bev, there's that word, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself, likewise, took part of the same. Why? Why do we have Christmas tonight? Look at the next verse, the next part of the verse says, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Do you understand that he had to be born to die, to defeat death? He had to be born to die. He had to be born so he could die to defeat our enemy. It was death. You understand it's all for you. I'm trying to get you to see.
Yeah.
That it's not just Christmas. There was a silent time. Mm-hmm. God looked down. And let the angels rejoice. Yeah, let them rejoice. But I'm fixing to lose sin that I never knew. I'm fixing to become sin for sinful man.
Yeah.
That they might become righteous like my real deity. Look at verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, that he is able to succor them that are tempted. I'm here to tell you tonight, the reason he came was to be your Savior. He didn't come to make a holiday. He didn't come to make Joseph and Mary parents. He didn't come to make a good book to read. He came to redeem me and you. And I believe if I'm going to find a solid night, if I'm going to have to go where the Father is, there had to be some solid there when God come down to me. God. Are you hearing me tonight? God. Come down to me.
Yeah.
So I thank God for a manger. I thank him that he grew and walked on the Galilee shore. I thank him for the cross. I thank him for the empty tomb.
That's what he is thanking for coming for me.
Yes.
That's Christmas tonight. That's the best I can tell you about Solomon. Let's stand together. If you're not saved tonight, tonight would be a good night to get saved. If you ain't living where you ought to be, it's shame on you. You ought to live like God. Are you hearing me? Look at me tonight. If you ain't saved, you ought to be saved. If you ain't living right, you ought to be. God, it's a shame you ain't. It's a shame. But we don't live the way we want to live. We ought to repent and do right. Huh? Ain't that simple? We ought to repent and do right. Now let's sing. Who's singing?
439.
All right. Good. Yeah, bye.
Ah.